What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Brand Doctor Podcast episode. Today, guys, we are going to be talking about you, your uniqueness as a personal brand, and getting over the fear of really owning that and wearing it with confidence. And I have a very special guest today that's going to help us facilitate this conversation. Welcome, everybody, my man, Richard Flint. How are you, my friend?
I am alive and well here in South Florida. How are you?
Whereabouts in South Florida? It's my favorite place to visit.
Yeah, I'm just 8 miles west of West Palm Beach in a place called Royal Palm Beach.
Very cool. Very cool. We love West Palm.
Nice place to live.
Oh, yeah. We stayed at the Ben Hotel. It's right by the marina there in West Palm. It's gorgeous. I know there's plenty of marinas in West Palm, but that hotel is a little boutique hotel me and my wife and my son stayed at, and it was gorgeous overlooking the intercoastal there. It was really, really beautiful. But we can save all that chatter for offline. Let's talk about this topic, because this is something that I know you're very passionate about and something that I know my audience will take great value from. So, but before we get started, let's get a little background on Richard Flint so people get a better understanding of who you are and why we should be listening to you.
Well, I've been out of federal prison for 2 years. No, I'm joking. Henry, my background is in helping people to understand who they are, what they can achieve, and then have the courage to do it. I've been on this journey for 35 years. And before I started this journey, I spent some time as a university professor. And then I went from there to work on the staff of a very, 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 very large mega church where I ran the counseling division for the church. Hmm. And one of the things that I saw when I was working in that counseling center was the fact that so many people are fearful of being unique. And what they do is they find somebody or they see somebody and they try to become that person. And the reality is you can't be anyone but whom you are. And I would ask people, why are you afraid to be yourself? And the reason is that most people don't understand that to be authentic, you really have to be comfortable with living from the inside out, not the outside in. And so many people, because they live in a world where they're controlled by doubt, they're controlled by worry and uncertainty, they live a life of outside in where they're constantly trying to prove themselves to people. And they're constantly trying to demonstrate a person or a personality that they're not. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, they lose the power of their presence. I have 16 laws that hold my life together. And my second law is this. The purpose of life is for you to create a positive presence that is present when you're not present. Mm-hmm. And this is what I find is lacking in so many people. If you can't be authentic, then you can't create the uniqueness of presence. Because when people look at you, they see one thing, but when they experience you, they experience something different. And when I look at people, I understand something. Henry, you and myself, we're really two different things. We're a person, which is what people see. And we're a personality, which is what people experience. And, you know, so many times when I look at entrepreneurs, I get so many young people who come to me and want to be a professional speaker. And one of the things I ask him about is, what's your uniqueness? What's your talent? Why is it that someone should sit in front of you and listen to what you have to say? What's your experience? What do you believe about yourself? What do you trust in yourself? How much faith do you have in your ability to stand and present yourself with confidence, with authority, and at the same time with humility? And when I ask that question so many times to young speakers, it just, you know, and to entrepreneurs who are wanting to start their own business, I just get this blank stare on their face because they don't understand the power of presence. And presence is not what we market ourselves as. Presence is what people feel about us after they've experienced us. And I had a speaker not long ago call me and want to talk to me. He said, why am I struggling? And so we got to talking about, who are you? What is your presence about? What's your message? And is your message something that you have created or you've taken from somebody else? And so many times the message of life, it is not from the inside. It's from the outside. And at a very early age, I understood something. I don't have to prove myself to people. I just have to be authentic with people. You know, and this is where so many people, they break out. Henry, there are only two foundations in life that people can stand on. One is you believe in yourself, you trust yourself, and you have faith in yourself. And that's the power of inside out. That's the power that creates that positive presence that is present when you're not present. And then there's the second foundation that's built on doubt, built on worry, and it's built on uncertainty. And if that's what my life is, do you know what then? I become whatever you want me to be. It's like the lady that came to me one day and said, she said, man, I enjoyed listening to you. And she said, I want to be a speaker just like you. I said, what would you speak on? She said, give me a topic. I told her, you'll never make it.
Nope.
Because you don't have your uniqueness. See, and I find that so many entrepreneurs and so many people who want to go into business for themselves, they want to do it because they're running away from something. They're not moving towards something. And they're running towards something that they didn't like. They're not moving towards something that they're passionate about. And they're trying to find their place. So if that's how they're building whatever it is they're building, they start out with doubt, worry, and uncertainty. And they don't start out with that belief, that trust in their faith in their self. And that's a disaster. And when I started this 35, 36 years ago, I made a promise to myself, and Henry, I made a promise to God that anytime I'm working with people in any of the formats in which I do it through speaking, I do it through, I've written 19 books, I've got one I'm just about to release, I do it through my small group retreats, I do it through everything we do. I want to bring three things to people. I want to help people to understand what it means to be better at being you. Now, that's inside out.
Yes.
Because if I don't have that, then I let you create me. And so I want to help people to understand that being better is a price tag. And there's a big price tag to be paid to it.
So, Rich, I have I have a question for you because I am in alignment and agreement with everything you just said. However, I'll share a personal experience with you. When I work from the inside out, when I really own who I am and I am unapologetic for it, the response from loved ones, people that are very close to me, is, Henry, you're selfish. Henry, you're selfish. You love yourself too much. You're selfish. And I struggle with that because I am the furthest thing from selfish when it comes to making sure I'm there for my son, making sure I'm there for my wife, making sure that I put other people first sometimes, even when I'm not a fan, right? And I get that you're selfish. And that sometimes makes me contract. Like, oh, well, then I'll just be the person you want me to be, and I'll do everything that you want me to, just so I'm not selfish. And that's when I get into funks for weeks and months at a time. So I know I'm not the only one out there that experiences this, especially as a business owner, because I've gotten the ultimatum many times in the past, but it never really stuck. It's either us or the business. Choose. That's the situation you're going to put me in. So I'm just curious. You have a tremendous amount of experience and wisdom. How do you handle that?
All right. Let me play psychologist with you, for that I am. Okay.
Okay.
The word selfish is an interesting word because it has two sides to it. It has an emotional side to it, and it has a mental side to it.
Okay.
Okay. And I get told this all the time. You're selfish. And I tell people, you're right. I am very selfish, but I understand the difference between mature and immature selfishness. Immature selfishness says this: I'm going to live my life and I'm going to use and take from other people everything I can that will make me appear better, and I don't care what I do to the other people. Okay? So in that world, I'm a thief.
Yeah.
I'm a thief. In that world, I'm a fake. In that world, I'm a liar. Now, mature selfishness has a different agenda to it, because everything in life has an agenda. There's nothing you'll ever do with your life that doesn't have an agenda tied to it.
Right.
And mature selfishness says this: I'm going to work to improve myself so that every day I can strengthen the core of my being. And I'm going to do that through building my belief in myself. Because of what I'm doing with my life. And I'm going to trust that I have a purpose in this life, and I'm going to have the faith that I can make a difference. If you could see three places in my house here, I have one statement that I look at least 10 times a day. And it's just these little words: somebody's going to need me today. And what I do is I understand my value to others begins with my value to myself. And I protect me. I protect me from people who are jealous of me. And that so many times the statements you were talking about are because of people are jealous of what you have become. They're jealous of your confidence. They're jealous of your success. And jealousy is a, you know, we've heard it said, it's a green-eyed monster. But let me tell you something. It is one of the most dangerous emotions that we can throw at people. And then what happens also, when you're doing with your life what makes you happy. And that happiness exudes out of you. People, majority of people, do not like happy people.
I never understood that, but I agree with you.
Well, the reason they don't like happy people is because they're not happy.
Okay.
You know, I'll take you down another level of thought. I think most people are not happy because they live with an internal depression. Now, I believe that there are two types of depression. There's clinical depression. And my personal belief, and there are a lot of people who disagree with me, and it's okay, they can be wrong. But my personal belief is this: only probably 3 to 5% of people who are depressed are medically depressed. The rest of us are personally depressed. And we're depressed because we don't like the life we have. We're depressed because we trap ourselves in the circle of sameness. We're depressed because I look at Henry and I see someone who is happy. I see someone who's making a difference. I see someone who has the world at his command, and I don't have that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everything I can to be negative with Henry. Because it's not right that he's happy. And you know what? And I do this. And it's one of my laws of life. You never keep anyone in your life who's not part of your fan club. Because if you keep them there, they will work diligently to pull you down. And I'm sorry to your listeners if they don't like what I'm about to say, but I don't care who it is. I don't care what the relationship is. If they're there to be destructive with you, you don't need them. You don't need them. And there's a conversation, Henry, that I've had with people. And the conversation goes like this: Richard, I need to apologize to you because I've allowed you to bring behaviors to my life that are not right. And I'm here to tell you today, no longer. No longer will you bring that behavior to my life. So that puts us at a crossroad, Richard. You either need to step up or I'm going to step away. And it's your choice. And that's personal maturity. To understand I'm not on this earth to live by other people's scripts of what they think my life should be. I'm here with a uniqueness of talent. I'm here as an individual. I'm here with gifts. And every day that I live, I want to bring those gifts to people. Why? Because today somebody's going to need me. And I want to be mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready for that person. That makes sense?
Totally. Yeah, totally. It takes a lot of discipline, doesn't it? Because it sounds very cut and dry, but when the person's staring you in the face, giving you these options, sometimes it's easier to just be like, "All right, I get it. All right, I'll just confide. I'll just concede." And well, people do it.
And let me give you another one of my laws of life that applies here.
Please.
Anything you don't confront, you validate.
That's right.
So if you come to me and you say, "You know what? You're selfish." And I know where that's coming from because I know it's coming from envy. It's coming from jealousy. It's coming from anger.
Yeah.
And then if I don't confront that, then I validated that with them. And then it's no longer their issue. It's mine because what I've allowed them to do is program me to fit their script of what my life should be. Now, can I take you down one more level with one thing you said?
Let's do it.
Okay. Because in order to be authentic, in order to live from the inside out and have that real passion for what you're doing and to live every day knowing that there's a purpose to this day, you got to ground yourself in 3 D's. You got to have the desire. And that desire is what fuels our passion. I am very passionate about what I do. And I've, in that desire, I've had to come to some realizations. The fact is, when I first started this, Henry, I thought the world was waiting for me to arrive. And I thought when I walked out on that stage that first time in Atlanta, Georgia, they would stand up and cheer mm-hmm. because I had arrived. Mm-hmm. Didn't take me long to understand that most people want honesty as long as it's not honest.
Right.
And I had to take a step back and realize, Richard, you're not going to change the world. And people ask me, what percentage of people do you think ever use anything you teach? 2%. 2%. And I've stopped looking for the 98%. I want the 2%. And that's what helps fuel my desire. But the second D is I got to be determined. Because there's a price tag to everything we do with our life. And where I find most people break down or give up or walk away is when the price tag is something they're not willing to pay. I mean, I spent over 30 years living on the road 200 days a year. I did an average of, before COVID, I did an average of 100 to 125 engagements a year.
Wow.
And I lived on the road.
Yeah.
But that was my purpose. That was my mission. And well, put it in my word, that was my ministry in life. Hmm. And I didn't worry about the people that didn't want to listen. I'm a theologian at heart. I graduated one of my master's and my degrees are from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I used to worry about that until one day I was studying the life of Christ, and I finally got it that he would walk into a group and he didn't try to convince them. He didn't beat them. He gave his presentation. And if they didn't accept it, he shook the dust off his sandals and he walked on.
That was it.
And that's what I've learned life is about. It's about finding your niche. Finding your place and being determined that you have a purpose and not everybody's going to buy into your purpose. But those two D's are weak if you don't have the third one. And you used the word a minute ago. You got to be disciplined.
Ah, of course.
You know, I'm probably one of the most disciplined people you'll ever meet. I write for 2 hours every morning of my life. And right now I'm working on my next book and that's going to be entitled, So What's Your Excuse? Because I think we live in a world today where excuses have become acceptable.
Yeah.
And an excuse that is acceptable destroys accountability and responsibility.
Yeah.
But I am so disciplined. But if you don't have a purpose, Henry, you have nothing to be disciplined with. You know, I do a series of small group retreats, and September we're going to do our next one, and the topic is controlling your procrastination habit. Hmm. Because I think procrastination is maybe either number one or number two in the dysfunctional behaviors that people have in their life. Hmm. And you can tell me everything you want to do with your life, but I'm going to look at you because I know life has one basic truth to it. Behavior never lies.
That's correct.
The essence of truth is not someone says to you, it's what they do.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I find those common struggles that people have. And my gift that God has given me is to take what looks confusing to people and show them the pathway to clarity. Mm. And I know if I can help people to feed their desire, strengthen their determination, and stand on a solid foundation of discipline, they can make a difference.
It's huge. It's huge.
But if you don't have those three, then you spend your time wandering around in your own wilderness trying to find yourself. And to do that, I keep running out to people saying, help me, help me, help me. I mean, I had people come to me from counseling and go, help me. And I'd go, no, I'm not going to help you. I'll guide you, but I'm not going to help you.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Right? You got to do it. You know, you put it, you lead the horse to water, but you got to, they got to drink it.
Well, one more of my one laws of life. Anything I do with my life, I do it because I give myself permission to do it. Nothing that you and I will do in our life will we do without giving ourselves permission to do it. And so when someone says to me, I didn't mean to do that, I'll just look at them and tell them, you're lying to yourself.
or else you wouldn't have done it.
That's it. But it goes back to, we live in a world where we have been trained to make excuses and to blame other people or things for what we have really done.
Right.
And your brand is created through your presence.
That's right.
That's what creates it.
That's right. Yeah, I love it. I love how you tie that all together. Let me ask you a question, Richard. Do you do one-on-one coaching or is it just group?
No, I take on 10 people a year, Henry.
Okay.
And please, I hope everybody understands how I say this. I'm not a coach.
Okay.
I'm a mentor.
Yeah.
Because what I do is I take a human life apart. You have four rooms in your life. Business, number one room of mental stress. Family, number one room of emotional stress. Mm-hmm. Social, which is where you're supposed to go to relax, but people are so busy being busy being busy, they don't know how to relax anymore. And then your personal room, which is where you go to be by yourself. Everything you want to do in your life will be born in your personal room. And okay. What I do is when I mentor somebody, we pull their rooms apart and put them back together the way they should be. We just introduced something. In fact, we just opened it last week. I'm doing an 8-week, very intensive masterclass for people. And it's beyond PhD.
Okay.
It's where we really get inside your life. And we deal with life's four questions. What do you really want? Why do you really want it? What price are you willing to pay to do it? And what behaviors will you have to improve to make it possible? And man, is it in depth.
Great questions. Yeah, great question. Is it group or is it you go through the masterclass on your own, so to speak?
You sort of go through it on your own. Mm-hmm. You have each week you have your module to work on.
Right.
And then at the end of the week, we come together as a group.
I like that.
And I give you an assignment. And these assignments are not easy.
Give me an example of one.
Okay. Like with my four questions.
Yeah.
Number one is, what do you really want? Okay. It's not, what do you want? What do you really want? And the word really has to tie your emotions and your mind together. And that doesn't happen with most people. They make decisions from their emotions up, not their mind down.
What kind of answers do you get? Because I hear people say, what do I really want? I want $1 million in my bank account. Maybe you get somebody that's a little bit more deep and else they say peace in my life. Right. Well,
most of the answers we get are results.
Oh,
searching for. That's not an answer. A result is not an answer. It's a projection. So what you really want has got to go to the core of your life. About who are you? What are your real talents? Are you existing in a world because you're afraid to step out of it? Or do you trust yourself enough to step into the world where you want to be? I mean, I would imagine, Henry, that during your life, you've had some challenge as to what you were going to do with your life.
Sure.
And those challenges have forced you to sit down alone with yourself and have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself. The most frightening room in a human life is the personal room, because you can't go there and lie.
Mm-hmm.
You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to yourself.
No. It always comes back up.
Yep.
If you don't confront it, like you said, you get what did Tony Robbins say? I'm not a huge Tony guy, but he said something that stuck with me for a while. You get what you tolerate, right? You get what you tolerate. So that's what you really got to pay attention to, guys, because you said it beautifully before. You said, if you don't address it, then you just you validated it. You let it go. And that's whose fault? It's not the other person's fault, right? It's your fault.
And that, Henry, that takes me outside in.
That takes me outside in. Exactly. 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 One of the biggest takeaways I got from the conversation was the immature and the mature selfishness. I thought that's, I want to highlight that again, because that's something that we need to pay attention to, because it only takes one person. It's usually them, the folks that are super close to you, to knock you off of focus, knock you off of your goal. And you have to recalibrate by asking yourself, what are my intentions? Is this an immature selfishness, or is this a mature selfishness? And I think that could recalibrate you in seconds.
Yeah. Do we have a moment I can just share one quick story?
Yeah, please. Yeah. We could go over a little bit. I'm done for the day. So after this, we're good.
I was born in New Orleans. I never knew my real dad, because my natural mother was a prostitute in New Orleans, and I was the result of a one-night stand, and she didn't want me. So I was given away to a family where I was adopted into that family because my dad wanted a son. My mother never wanted me, and she proved it to me. Henry, I never had a birthday cake. I never got Christmas presents. I have three sisters. All are adopted from different families. They always got everything, and I got nothing. And as far back as I can remember, my adopted mother used to say three things to me over and over. You're the stupidest kid I've ever met. You'll never amount to anything in your life. And I'll be glad when the day comes that you're no longer in my house. And when I was 16 years of age, was when I was 15, my mother told me if I was to live in her house, I had to pay her room and board. So I had a job at an IGA grocery store. And I'd been 16 for 2 weeks. I called my dad to come get me, just like he always did. Dad drove up in front of the grocery store. I started to walk toward the car, and my dad leaned on the top of the car and said, "Richard, wait a minute." And he walked around behind the car, and when he stepped into a street light, I knew what was happening, because my dad was carrying a suitcase. And he sat down beside me, and he told me, he said, "Richard, I don't agree with this, but your mother has made the decision. You can no longer live in her house." And he said, "I love you." He hugged me. He turned, and he ran back to the car and drove off. And I was left on that street corner at 16. My life was in a little suitcase. And I went through all the emotions. Everyone go through, and there's a lot more to the story. But when I was a sophomore in college, I made the decision I had to confront my mom and dad. And I remember driving back to their house. My dad let me into the house. My mother came out of the kitchen. And when she saw me, Henry, she took one look at me, picked up her purse, took out her car keys, walked out the back door, and drove off. And I never saw her again. But that was my greatest day of freedom, because I lived up to that point for one thing: to prove to my mother she was wrong. And she owned me. She owned me emotionally. She owned me mentally. But that day I realized I am no longer going to be a hostage to her words. And I was free.
Yeah.
And from that time on, I lived by my number one philosophy in life: why be a carbon copy when you're the original?
I love that.
And I am an original. And yes, I'm selfish. But I'm selfish to be able to bring value to other people, not to take from people. I want to give. I don't want to take.
And I can tell. I can tell that comes from the heart. That comes from the inside.
Yep.
I could tell. That's why I wanted you on the show today.
I really appreciate you letting me be on the show with you.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And I could go another, 2 hours if I had the time. Man, I would love to have you back. I do a YouTube show every Monday and Wednesday. And we go over different topics, you know, but my goal, very similar to yours, is to help people level up their standards, right? Level up their status in life so that they feel more comfortable and confident within themselves so they can go out and build that business that they want to build. They can help those people that they want to help. So we have a lot of synergy there. And I would love to have you back on the YouTube show too. That's a little bit more longer format. And we could dive into this a little deeper. I really love what you're doing.
Well, I'd really like to talk to your audience about the 6 fears that hold people hostage from the day they're born to the day they die.
All right. Let's schedule it up. Let's get Brian to schedule it up and we'll have a whole session on it.
Yay.
I love it. I love it. So guys, I like to keep these kind of petite. So they're bite-sized episodes and you could run through them. So there's going to be a lot more coming from Richard. I really love his message and I love his purpose. And you could tell that this guy is a wealth of wisdom. And man, I know he's got some takeaways that I would love for you to share. You guys know how to get me on Instagram and YouTube and drop it in wherever you're listening to this, wherever you're watching this, drop me a comment. Let me know what your biggest takeaway was of this whole conversation. Number one, number two, before I forget, Richard, where can people learn more about you and start to follow you and your journey?
They can go to richardflint.com, F-L-I-N-T, richardflint.com. They can see all the things we're doing. And I'd like to invite anyone to join us on our Friday open mic. We have an open mic session every Friday where we have a question and then we open the mics and everybody gets to talk. Our question for this Friday is, what does freedom mean to you? Because we're coming up on the July 4th weekend. And they would just go to richardflint.com/discussion. And it's free.
Oh, I love it. It's free. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. I love your shirts, by the way. Well, that is
this is my brand, Henry.
I know it is.
My shirts are my brand.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And if they have any questions from anything we've said today, I'll give you permission to email me. Okay. And put it in front of me and I'll respond to it. It's just richard@richardflint.com. It's very simple. And just know it takes me a couple of days maybe to get back to you. This morning I answered almost 200 emails from people who just have a question for me. And I'd be happy to offer that to anybody who is part of your life because I like who you are.
Thank you.
I like the depth of your questions. I do a lot of interviews where the questions are so shallow. But I like the depth of your question, which tells me a lot about Henry.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode in the books. Make sure you drop that review. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you share this because I know that there's somebody else out there today that could appreciate this conversation. So have an amazing day, guys.